I think that it is very important that at some point in your journey that people need to share their story. It is the most important part of the healing journey. That at some point that you are heard and believed, right? That you get it out, that this is the thing that people hold in the pit of their stomach for most of their lives. And so to have a release from that is extraordinary. But it's not where you live, right? So the release, so there's this, and I'm asked all the time about like, ooh, can we get together and do like a Me Too book of stories? And I'm just like, I won't ever do that. I won't ever create a book that's just people's trauma stories. There's no need for a repository for trauma. What we need is for people to release the story and start the work of healing, right? And so part of my speech, but part of what I talk about is that, like, Me Too is the declaration is just the beginning, right? It's not where you live. It's the start of a journey. It's like opening the door. And when other people say it, it gives permission for people who haven't had the courage or the space or whatever it is they need to say it. But I don't believe that, and then you also can't trust everybody with your story, right? I've had so many media people, not so many, but a few, ask me for details in my story, and I'm always like, for what? How does that change what I'm telling you? There are things that I have experienced that I can pick any survivor out of this audience or whatever, and they're gonna experience the same exact thing. But the details of what happened are very, very different. Forget about the details, right? The details shouldn't matter. The trauma is what matters. And the healing journey is what matters. So I don't believe in just stories for the sake of stories. Mm-hmm. It's a long way of saying that.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm happy to open it up if anyone else has questions.
I can actually piggyback onto that. I'm starting the first ever military sexual trauma podcast. I'm a military rape survivor. My name is Lauren. And I really like what you had to say about you don't want a repository for stories. Mm-hmm. But the first time I ever shared on a podcast, it was like, it went out there, and that something's like that fear was gone. Mm-hmm. You know, it was open, it was out there, and I know it inspired a lot of other women to come forward in order to start this endeavor of actually having a podcast. So I'd like to thank you for helping us to open that door to hashtag MeTooMilitary. Mm-hmm. And it's a sincere thank you from Swan. They asked me to bring that message to you.
Awesome.
I would like to know what you'd like to see, if it's not a story repository as far as like a podcast, if maybe not an interview, you know, just a place for trauma to live, as you said, how would you envision that to be helpful to this community?
This is what I envision. I think that collecting stories are important, but I think it's important to collect the stories of what the healing looks of the journey. So we have people have romanticized being a survivor. And so I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make the mistake of saying the stories are important. What I'm saying is that the details of the story of the trauma that happened to you is not what we need to collect. What people really want to know is, how did you get from here to there, right? Like, yes, this thing happened to you. Yes, me too. We connect on that place. But if I'm looking at you and I'm like, God, your hair is done. You know what I mean? You have on clothes. You're able to walk. Put 2 feet in front of each other. There are some people who are not there yet. There's so many people who are not there yet. And so people need to understand that it's possible. And they need to know that, like, I talk about what we need to really focus on what survival is, right? Being a survivor is a title, but survival is a whole other ball of wax.
That's true.
Right? And so I think if we're going to collect stories, it should be the stories that let people know that it's normal to feel this way. This is a thing that's going to happen in your healing journey. That's okay. You may cry for 7 days straight. You may, like, whatever the things are that you deal with, I think the stories of those little stories that we only know, that we only connect, those things that we don't talk about, those things that we think make us crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's really important for us to talk about that.
Absolutely.
That's more important than saying one night, this da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so stories are very important to the journey, but it's the kind of story.
So it's more of a focus on how did you get where you are right now, mm-hmm. as a rape survivor, you know, how did you get from where you were to where you are now?
Or even where are you now,
right?
Right? Because there's a woman who I was the first book idea I had was to do, which I'm going to do, it'll be the second book, but an anthology of people's healing journey. And this one woman who I asked to do it, she's like, nobody wants to hear from me. I'm a mess. I need to be in therapy. You know, and she said all those things, and I was like, there's somebody who's not even there yet.
Exactly.
Right? So somebody needs to hear that you have this is the behavior, you know it's bad, you know you need to be somewhere else, but you can't get there yet. Even that's important. But it's the muckety muck underneath it, right? It's the ugly underbelly of survival that I think if we're going to talk about some real stuff, like, let's talk about that.
Right.
I think that's helpful.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jordan. Mm-hmm.
So I know you mentioned, hi, I'm Casey.
Hi.
University. Obviously, the movement's like a lot larger than just sexual harassment in the workplace. There's mm-hmm. a lot of facets to the movement as a whole. But for the event panel we're having, that's one of the things we are focusing mm-hmm. on. So what would be your advice to just young women who find themselves in these situations and feel maybe like they can't speak up or they're afraid to speak up, how to handle the situation?
I do get this question a lot, and I think that one of the best things that young women can do coming into particularly corporate spaces or workspaces is to find a mentor. You know, find an older woman, a woman who's been, you know, maybe a few years older, who's been there before, or even somebody outside the workplace who you trust, so that if there's something happens that makes you uncomfortable, you can go to, like, just discuss it. Because we get in our own heads, right? So you're like, I remember when I was pregnant with my daughter, I had a big, giant afro. And after I had my daughter, I was looking for work. I couldn't find work, and I decided I was going to perm my hair. Because I decided in my brain the only way I could get a professional job was if I had got straight hair. And thank God I got the job before I straightened my hair. But it was because I got in my own head that this, I was 23 or 24, I think, and I just needed to talk to some other folks. And I talked to an elder black woman who was like, I've been in this business for such and such years. Nobody cares about your hair, right? But it was that wisdom that of me not being in my own young brain and leaning on experiences I didn't even have, right? I think that girls coming into the workplace should definitely find mentors. It's really important to have somebody who you trust, who can give you some sound advice, and who you could say, like, this thing makes me uncomfortable that this person keeps doing. I don't know if this is harassment. I don't know if I should say, like, help me. That's the advice that I would give first.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Hi. My name is Kiki Brown. I believe I may be on the panel discussion with where she's talking about tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm with WAMO 100 and also Urban Media Today. And thank you so much for being here and sharing your story and for starting the conversation and stirring up the pot. With this, me being a woman in the media, a lot of the audiences that is profiled or of a higher, I want to say a higher profile. Mm-hmm. So for those like myself, we feel like our voices are not large enough because we're not at that status. We're not there. We're not the Angie Martinez's or the Wendy Williams, so nobody really cares about that.
Wendy
so
Williams.
But I mean, at the same time, it's like, well, I'm not me, but for women within the media, whether it's print, whether it's television, even podcasting, you know, we figure we're not at that certain height of success. Mm-hmm. And so where can that confidence come from as far as what we can expect in being in this business? Like, our voice is still loud. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So what is your advice to women who feel like you don't have to be at a certain step? I may be saying it in my question.
Maybe. Because, I mean, I don't, so this thing is new, right? This is what, 4 months people didn't know me, October 14th, 2017. I mean, there's a group of people that knew me. And honestly, and I think, you know, it's hard to say once you've crossed a certain threshold, but I would be doing literally the same thing if nobody knew me.
Right.
And so I think that, I mean, I know in your business it's about moving up and up and really the more you're known is how you measure success, mm-hmm. but you have an audience regardless, mm-hmm. right? If you have a podcast or you are Wendy Williams, you have an audience. And I really think it's about honing your audience, crafting your audience. I think that's what you're asking about. Mm-hmm. About
well, some of us feel like because the Wendy Williams is our Super Bowl, mm-hmm. or New York is our Super Bowl market.
Right.
We have to do what we have to do to get there. So
oh, you're talking about
around. Yeah, so we take whatever we can so that we can get to that next level. I'm in survival mode.
Yeah.
You know, other women are looked at, maybe I didn't say this in the first time, I was trying to ask a question. We're looked at as competition, mm-hmm. and we shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we're directed with a lot of harassing comments, and we take it because it's like, well, if I need to get to this certain level,
you gotta
know. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like, and again, I'm speaking from a different place because I don't work in a field that requires that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that just feels like there is so many, this myth of like women don't work together, blah, blah, blah. I bet you have a little cadre of women who are in your business who you lean on, who you text or you on a thread together, or y'all got a Facebook group or something. I really feel like collaboration is the way we move past or get around some of those things. Like, we have to start, even if you don't tell the boss, tell each other, right? And we start knowing, like, avoid this person. We know, you know, I really wish that people would collectively in these different industries, like Me Too Military, would just start talking about it, even if it's anonymous, right? Just start putting it out there and talking about these things, because so I'm thinking about Sweden. I know this is going to sound really, but follow me for a second. Sweden has had this huge response to Me Too, because they have a hashtag for like every industry. And it's fascinating to me. So they have, I mean, they even have Me Too horse trainers, which I thought was amazing.
Horse trainers?
Horse trainers. Like, but it has like Me Too clergy, Me Too nurses, Me Too waitresses, Me Too, like every industry has a thing. And so while here we say, you know, oh my God, nobody's paying attention to my story, the media won't cover, what about the horse trainers in the United States? Like, there's always this kind of like, nobody's paying attention to us. But we live in a world where we can create our own media. And we live in a world where our collective voices can move the needle. So I feel like collaboration in the industry amongst women will help move the needle some. And I may be speaking from like, that's just not realistic for us. Mm-hmm. But it feels like that. It feels like if there's collaboration amongst y'all to say, like, first of all, to say that we're not going to tolerate these things. And let's figure out some creative ways that we can, you know, get around is maybe we start putting people's names out anonymously, you know, or something like that. But I wish that people would really lean more into their collective strength, not just you, just us in general. If CNN doesn't cover it, it doesn't mean it's not news.
Right.
And so CNN is not going to cover 99% of these things. They're going to cover what's famous and shiny and popular. And that's just the way of the world. Doesn't mean those things aren't happening. So what are the other ways that we can bring attention to it? We literally live in a time where we create our own media. Somebody's listening, you know? And I mean, even when I did my workshop, I would be in a room with seven people sometimes. Seven people, you know? And then when I was in a room with 20 people, I'd be like, oh my God, look, it's 20 people. I'm famous. So I don't know, I think collaboration is a part of that. And just, times are changing, right? Like, I hate that Wendy Williams is the Super Bowl, no, but times are definitely changing and people are becoming well known. I think about like Issa Rae, you know, mm-hmm. who created her own medium and right. then created her own path to fame. So there are other pathways to fame besides traditional nowadays, and I think we should start embracing some of those too, particularly women of color. We should start embracing some of those too.
Thank you.
Okay, we have an action-packed evening, so we have roughly 5 minutes, so sorry, can we just get a couple more questions in?
Yeah. Tamara, this...
Tarana.
This focuses around collaboration and support for all women. Mm-hmm. Recently...
Oh, survivors.
Okay. Recently here in Pittsburgh, there was an incident where a woman was brutally attacked mm-hmm. at a pizza establishment. On January 12th, the organizers, the people who organized the protest now, have, putting their stuff out on social media and everything, but it seems like at times that women of color are not acknowledged or their story isn't brought forward by other feminists or other people in the struggle. Or say they are in the struggle to, get the message out there. Now, I interviewed the woman that is organizing the protest last week, and she stated to me that, you know, she hasn't been getting support of the overall women's community here in Pittsburgh, you know, because...
I hope you're not going to ask me how to solve that problem.
it's a lot of education. First of all, I know that, but how do we address things like
that? Brother, if I knew that, I mean, we have a joke amongst my friends that I am the first product of all of the intersectional education that's been happening on Twitter for the last few years, right? That people are finally starting to realize and say that one, we can trust Black women's leadership, and we will not erase a Black woman from her own work. as we've seen happen. And I think I don't have a solution for that. I think that there are, except that we have to talk about it. I talk about it, and you know, and for instance, in our fight to make sure that R. Kelly is taken out of the mainstream media and music industry, I'm saying all the time, if white women really care honestly about sexual violence, this is a sexual predator who has been preying on black and brown girls for 20 years publicly. And so here's a place where you can be intersectional. And so we've been saying, and it's not just me, there's been a group of us that have been saying that for so, but way before y'all knew me, I've been writing articles about it, talking about it for years. And now we're starting to see mainstream media pick it up, and now we're starting to see people pay a little more attention. I talked to one of the women actresses from Time's Up, and she said about this, just privately in a conversation, and she had no idea, literally no idea about him, his history. So there's such a disconnect in our lives in general. Like, we have a version of pop culture, like they say, Black Twitter and whatever. There's a world that we live in that other people are not even invested in at all.
So it's like Black Lives Matter.
Maybe. Exactly. But you have, you know, I'm hoping that what will happen in the wake of this Me Too movement is that people, that point of intersectionality will start happening, and that we don't just use those words, and we realize that intersectionality is anchored by amplification. And so if this person, you know, Harvey Weinstein is a touchstone now, everybody's like he represents all the things that are bad, like he's one individual boogeyman. And if he can come tumbling down, somebody like R. Kelly, who has not even close to his power, should have the same. So I know I'm not answering, but I don't have an answer for that. I just pray about it, that we can get, because I'm gonna just say this last thing. What I have experienced though in this last 4 months, I will say that this is the power that is in our collective voices. So I have been working with groups of women. We've been working across issues. So we have domestic workers and farm workers and restaurant workers, Planned Parenthood and Moms Rising, these huge organizations that normally work in silos around their individual issues, coming together, working across issues. Some of those, Moms Rising, Planned Parenthood is largely white, right? Domestic workers, restaurant workers, you know, largely people of color. And I represent communities of color. I represent all survivors, but particularly communities of color. What we've done, we just did a State of the Union, State of Our Union event a couple of weeks ago, and part of that was like, we have to start, not in a like kumbaya, I don't see color kind of way, because that's obviously nonsense, but in a, we have a collective, there's a commonality here that we need to focus on and lean into that common place so that we can move the needle together, because there's more of us. I just hope that message gets out more. I'm feeling like that's happening more, even across the Hollywood actresses, you know, kind of line, people are trying to work together in the places where we have commonality. So.
And on that note, we need to wrap up. Sorry. So thank you for bringing the message to Pittsburgh. And thank you all.
Please don't tell me I was not recording. Okay.